We want to thank you so much for coming to worship with us this morning. This is our last service for the new year. For your seat, if you'll say hello to somebody, shake hands with them. Tell them you look great today. We are glad to see each and every one of you. Pastor Joel is out of town right now, so he asked me to fill in for him. He's spending some time with family. Out of state, and so taking a little bit of a much-deserved rest, and told the other services, you know, he preaches five times a week, and so I'm just getting a small taste of that this weekend. I just so appreciate him, appreciate the opportunity to kind of share some things that the Lord's put on my heart this morning, and I know you appreciate him just as much as I do. But this morning, I want to share with you just a couple things that have been on my heart, really two primary things. The first thing is this, is I want to share with you how we can know going into the new year, into 2014, the condition of our heart, spiritually speaking. And then the second thing I want to communicate this morning is how we can make sure going into the new year in 2014 that we maintain and we keep a strong, healthy heart. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says to keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard our heart with all diligence, because out of it flow all the issues of life. What that means is simply this, that every single area of our life, our relationships, our finances, our families, our job, every single area of our life is affected by one thing, and that's the condition of our heart, spiritually speaking. You know, I was reading the other day a book by Ed Cole. He was a very well-known men's ministry minister, and in his book, he was sharing a story about something that took place between him and his son. His son had just turned 16 years old. Just got his driver's license. He had been on the road doing a whole lot of meetings, was kind of tired, just got settled back in. They were at the breakfast table, and his son told him, "Dad, I need the keys to the car." He had just gotten a new car, Ed Cole had. And he said, "Not only that, I need the credit card too, Dad. I want to go to youth camp. It's 400 miles away." And so you can imagine, as a parent, your son just turned 16 years old. He's wanting the keys to the car. Not only that, he wants the credit card to go with him. And so they went back and forth, and his dad was trying to explain to him, "No, that's not going to happen. You just started driving," so on and so forth. And so they exchanged words back and forth, and finally he told his son, he said, "Look, you're not going. You're not getting my keys. You're not getting the credit card. It's end of story. I don't want to hear another word about it." And he was firm with his son. His son was upset. He went to the bedroom down the hall. He was in such an upset mood, he threw open the door and accidentally kicked a door through it, sat on his bed, and when he realized there was a gaping hole in the door, his son had just done that, he said he was hot, that he was ready to just go light into his son. He was so upset with what had just happened. He said as he was about to walk down the hall, the Holy Spirit just spoke to his heart and told him that his heart wasn't right, that he had provoked his son to anger, as the scripture says, and that he was the one that had made a mistake. His heart wasn't right about it. And so he waited about 45 minutes, calmed down, let the Lord speak to his heart. He went into his son's bedroom. His son was still sitting on the bed with his head in his hands on his knees, tears still in his eyes. And he sat down and he told his son, "I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me. I made a mistake and my heart wasn't right towards you. Not only am I going to give you the keys, but I'm going to give you the credit card so you can go to the youth camp." And he said he was so glad that he did, because it was during that youth camp that his son accepted a call to go into the ministry and went on later to do great things for God's kingdom, and is still doing so today. And I share that story with you because of this, is that just like this scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, that out of the heart flows all the issues of life. The condition of our heart right now is affecting not only our lives personally, but it's affecting our families. It not only affects our destiny, but it affects the destiny of our children, of our families, because out of our heart flow all of the issues of life. So whether things this past year were great for you, whether things were not so good for you, whatever kind of year that I had, that you had, it all comes back to one place, and that was the condition of our heart throughout the year. You know, Pastor last week talked about how sometimes the heart can become sick, spiritually speaking. Things cannot be right, and because of that, it affects the things that take place in our life. Our heart can get sick with things like bad attitudes, unforgiveness, different things like that. And so our heart can get to a place to where it's not right, it's not focused on God, and it affects all of our lives in a negative way. And our heart is either producing one of two things. It's either producing fruit in our life, good things that God designed our heart and our life to produce, or it's producing symptoms, showing us that there's something not right in our heart and something not right in our life. And about 2.5, 3 years ago, I talked to my dad usually about once a week, and he had given me a phone call because he was about to start a new job. I was very excited about it, but he had to go get a physical to make sure he was healthy enough to start work, so on and so forth. He'd always been pretty healthy for the most part. But in the midst of getting the physical, he found out that he had some issues going on. The doctor began to tell him that he had some pretty serious issues with his heart. And he was sharing these things with me, and after a series of tests, they found out some more details on it. But when he first told me, to be honest with you, he was having some issues with his heart, I wasn't very surprised, because back from Oklahoma, where I'm from, there's two favorite places that my dad liked to go eat. One of them was a place where you get chili cheese hot dogs, and the other one was a place where his favorite pizzeria. And every time I talked to my dad, it seems like he had just left one of those places. And so he didn't keep what you call a healthy diet, a healthy lifestyle, pretty much the closest thing to a vegetable that my dad eats is French fries. And so you can imagine, I wasn't real surprised. I've been telling him for a while, Dad, you may want to start thinking about eating a little bit healthier, so on and so forth. But he began to tell me that what the doctors found out is that he had two valves in his heart that both had holes in them. And then it got a little bit more serious. I told him, they said, if you lift over 25 pounds for the rest of your adult life, or you exert too much energy, you run the risk of your heart rupturing, and you won't make it. If your heart ruptures and you make your way to the hospital, if you don't die on the way there, once you get there, there'll be nothing that any doctor can do. It's just going to be the end of the story for you. So you can imagine that's some pretty serious news. So he's sharing this with me. They told him there is surgery that we can do, but even with the surgery, you're running the risk of, you know, if things don't go correctly, that it cannot turn out right. And so they said the decision's up to you. You've got to make the choice whether or not you're going to go through with this. Well, long story short, he prayed about it, thought about it, and he made the decision to go ahead and get the surgery. And all went well. He's doing better today. His heart is in better shape than it was. It took months and months for him to recover after surgery, but he's doing much better. But the part of the story I didn't share with you is this, is that in the midst of that, probably 6 months to a year leading up to it, I remember talking to my dad often and him telling me that he just wasn't feeling right. He was having symptoms, but he was choosing to ignore them. He said, it seems like I just ever can't get a full breath, catch my full breath, or it seems like the activities that I used to do with no problem seem to just cause me to be completely exhausted and fatigued these days. That literally, he said, I feel like I need to take a nap for a couple hours after the things that I used to do, no problem, just to feel normal again and feel my normal self. And so he was having symptoms in his heart leading up to that point, but just chose to ignore them. He kept on saying, I'm just getting a little bit older, and you know, I could stand to be in a little bit better shape, and he thought that it was just a result of those things. But all the while, his heart was producing symptoms because his heart wasn't right, naturally speaking. Well, our heart, spiritually speaking, does the same things. It's either producing fruit in our lives, things that God has called us to do, and good things in our life, or our heart is producing symptoms when our heart is sick. This scripture in Proverbs tells us that out of the heart flow all the issues of life. How do we know if our heart is not right? How do we know if our heart is sick? Well, I believe that there is three ways that I want to share with you this morning, that when we leave here today, we can know what the current condition of our heart is. Whether it's good, bad, or it's ugly, we'll know, and we'll have an opportunity to take a good look at ourselves, a good look at our heart to say, where and how has my heart been? What condition has it been in this past year? How has it been in during the holiday season? But even more importantly, towards the end, we're going to talk about how we can make sure that our heart is just right in a healthy place going into this new year. Because how many of you know God wants to do some great things in our life in 2014? Amen? But of the three things, like I said, our heart's either going to produce symptoms or it's going to produce fruit. But I believe that we can tell the current condition of our heart firstly by this, is by what's coming out of our mouth, what we say. We can tell the current condition of our heart, whether it's healthy or sick, by what we're talking about. I want to share a scripture with you in Luke 6:45. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil." But here's the part I want to get to. It says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." Whatever is in abundance in our heart, that is going to be what comes out of our mouth. So many times we can probably think of an instance where ourselves or somebody we know just let something fly out of their mouth that maybe they shouldn't have, right? We've all been there. And then all of a sudden, we or somebody else tries to cover it up and say, "Oh, I didn't mean that. I was just kidding. It was just a joke," right? Well, so much of the time, that really is what they meant, or that really is what we meant, because whatever is in our heart in abundance, it is going to come out of our mouth. We can tell the reflection of our heart and the condition of it based on the words that we're speaking. We've got to ask ourselves, how do we know the condition of our heart based on what we say? Are we spending more time? Did we spend more time this past year talking about what wasn't going right and complaining and griping and grumbling and talking bad about people? Or do we spend most of our time, if our heart was healthy, spending time being thankful and grateful to God and rejoicing for what He's done good in our lives? We can tell whether the place of our heart is in a sick place or a healthy place based on what's coming out of our mouth the most, because what comes out of here is a reflection of what's in here in our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth will speak. The second way I feel like we can tell the current condition of our heart, spiritually speaking, is this, is by what we're doing. So many times we want to look at other people and say, "What are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you doing?" But really the question is that we should be asking ourselves is, what have I been doing this past year? What did I spend my time doing? What did I invest my time in? Did I invest my time doing just selfish things, just looking out for myself? Or did I spend my time looking to do good for my family, looking to do good for others, looking to do good for God's kingdom? What did I invest my time into? We can tell the condition of our heart based on how we spend our time. It's so easy to get busy and caught up in things, but we can really tell where our priorities are. We can really tell where our heart lies and the condition of it based on how we spend our time, what we do. And thirdly, I believe that we can tell the condition of our heart based on what we think on. What we think on. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever we think on the most, that is what shows up in our life. Isn't that right? Whatever we think on, our most dominant thoughts, that's what we're going to see take place in our life. If we're thinking on good things, if we're thinking on godly things, if we're thinking on things that are pure, lovely, honest, and good report, that's exactly what we're going to see show up in our lives, things that are pure, lovely, honest, and good report. But if we're thinking on negative things all the time and how things aren't right and this and that, and just we're going to see not so good things take place in our life, because so goes our thoughts, so goes our life. You know, probably a few weeks ago, I was with my wife, my kids, and we were just shopping around for Christmas and things like that. And really, over the last 6 months, I started getting more into exercising and trying to eat better and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I moved out here from Oklahoma about 10 years ago, and I got introduced to sweets and pecan pie and sweet tea, and to be honest with you, just went downhill. And so I said, it's time to get back on track, trying to be healthy again. And so anyway, we went to the Dick's Sporting Goods, and so I found myself looking around the fitness equipment area, and I usually exercise at the house and things like that. And so I walked across this equipment, I saw a big clearance sign on it, and I said, my goodness, what a good deal this is. I said, I would like to have this. And so I looked at my wife, and I said, look, this thing's like originally $1,000, just like $200 now. And so I'm looking for her to smile or frown, like, am I going to be able to get this thing today or not? And so she's not really smiling real big at this point. So she said, why don't you wait a week, see if it's still here, because it was supposed to drop in price even more. So I said, okay. Well, a couple days later, I'm still thinking about this exercise equipment. It's what I'm thinking on, right? And so I call up there and I said, there's no way this thing's still going to be here. It's just too good of a deal, I'm thinking. Well, anyway, I call up there. I said, is that equipment still up there? And they're like, yeah, it's still here. And so I was like, oh, this is great, but I bet it's not going to be there by next week. And so Me and my wife and the kids, we went out to go get coffee. We get coffee. The kids don't get coffee. But after we got coffee, I found myself driving towards Madison back to the Dick's Sporting Goods. And she's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "I just want to go see if that equipment's still there." And she was just shaking her head. She's like, "Why don't you just go ahead and get it already?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know." And so I go there. It's still for sale. The price has dropped even more. And so I'm still thinking on this thing. Well, it was about a day later, I borrowed my buddy's trailer and went and got this equipment. And it's in my house right now, okay? Long story short, it's still not put together, but it's in my house. And so anyway, I share that story with you, share this, is that it was what I was thinking on. And what we think on is going to show up in our lives. It's a reflection of where our heart is at. What we find ourselves thinking on the most will generally show up about what the current condition of our heart is. And so three ways going into the new year, before we hit there, I want us all to look at our lives, take a good, honest, hard look and say, what has been the condition of my heart this past year? Has it been more so sick? Has it been somewhere in the middle? Or have I kept a pretty healthy heart going into the new year? Why is this so important? Because Scripture and Proverbs tells us that out of the heart flow all the issues of life. If the heart ain't right, the life ain't right. But if the heart is right, the life will be good. It'll be full of God's goodness and God's blessing. Because out of it flow all the issues of life. But even more importantly, I feel like moving into the new year, there's three things that we can do to make sure that we keep and maintain a healthy heart, spiritually speaking. Because if our heart is right, it's going to be a great year. If our heart gets sick and stays sick, it's not going to be such a great year because out of our heart flow all the issues of life. But I feel like some of these things I'm going to share with you are some things that I found out over this past year that have helped me maintain my heart to be in a good place, and I think that they'll help you too. The first thing is this, is I feel like we need to reflect on our lives often. We need to take time out to reflect. Life gets so busy. We've all got so much going on, especially during holiday seasons. I mean, I literally on Christmas, after everything ended, it was so busy this Christmas season for me, I just, all the lights off, stared at the Christmas tree for 5 minutes. I said, I need to take time and enjoy these decorations my wife put up. She came in there and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm enjoying Christmas right now, finally. It's so busy." But we need to take time out to reflect, because if we don't take time out to reflect, we won't be able to say and look at our lives and see how things have honestly been going. We won't know any adjustments or improvements that we need to make. We won't know if we need to change some things in our heart or make some adjustments there so we can keep our heart right. Whenever we take time to reflect, it allows us to do two things. It allows us to make adjustments, identify distractions more so, but then also it gives us time to give thanks towards God. You know, I just got into hunting last year and became an official man in Mississippi because I got into hunting. And so now I can be a part of those conversations where people said, "Hey, I killed a deer last weekend," or blah, blah, blah. So now I'm excited to be a part of those conversations. Well, I got my first gun back in November. So I'm moving on up in the ranks hunting. And so I take my gun out there. I go with a friend to get this thing sighted in. And I'm shooting all over the place. I'm doing terrible. And by the end of that day, he's on target, and I'm still high right, low left. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just bad. So I go hunting a couple times after that, and I'm not even going to tell you how many deer I missed. I mean, it was just bad. It's embarrassing. So I'm not going to tell you how many deer I missed. Well, I thought it was just the gun. I was like, "This is just a sorry gun I got. It must be it," because last year is no problem. I mean, I was knocking them down. Everything was good. Well, I went back out there with my buddy that told me to get this gun, and he said, "Before you shoot it, let me shoot it, see how it's going." He takes two shots, it's a bullseye. He says, "Nothing wrong with a gun, Ryan." So he said, "Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "I want you to turn around. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I put a bullet in the chamber, and I'm going to film you with my phone." He said, "I see exactly what you're doing, but I want you to see. You need to reflect on what you're doing to see what you need to do to change." So basically, I was flinching because I was anticipating the kick of this gun, this big gun. And so he said, "Do you see what you need to do now?" After he's laughing at me while he's saying this. And I said, "Yeah, I see what I need to do now." So by the time I left, I was on target. And a couple days later, I was victorious and getting a deer. And so you can clap if you like. No, I'm just playing. No. But I share that to share this, is that if I had not taken time to reflect to see what needed to improve, what needed to change, I would have went the rest of the time and had not gotten any better. If we don't take time out to reflect in our lives and get quiet, we will not see the things that we need to change in our heart and the adjustments that we need to make to keep our heart healthy and strong in this new year. Not only that, it gives us time whenever we're tempted to complain about things not being right or just how we'd like them to be. It gives us time to refocus on all the good things that are going on in our life, all the good things that God has blessed us with. You know, rather than complaining about the kids whining and fussing all the time, it gives you an opportunity to look at how grateful you are because you've got healthy children. Or maybe you're tempted to complain about the job that you have and things that have been going on. It gives you time to reflect and look at, I'm so thankful that I do have a job, because there's a lot of people out there still looking for work, so on and so forth. And so it gives us time to make adjustments, but also to give thanks to God. But I believe the second thing that we can do to keep our heart healthy and strong in the new year, because out of it flow all the issues alive to make sure we have a great year in 2014, is to return quickly to God. In 1 John 1:9, it says that whenever we miss it, it's as simple as this, that we confess our sins to God, ask for forgiveness, and He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's going to be times next year when our heart gets off track. There's going to be times next year whenever we make a bad decision or a bad choice. But you know what? God wants us to quickly move on, get back in the saddle, get back on track, and get back into the great year that He has prepared for us. And the way that we do that is by returning quickly to Him whenever we get off track. You know, this past Christmas, I got probably one of my favorite gifts. I got a bag of cookies. I have somewhat of a cookie addiction. My trainer was here last service, and so he heard me tell off on myself. But I got a bag of cookies for Christmas, and I was ready to get back on track after all the holiday meals, start exercise again, get back on my diet, but I couldn't stop thinking about these cookies. They were in the cabinet, and I said, I'm just going to have to eat like half of a cookie and just get this off my mind, and then I'll go in and I'll go work out. Well, I ate half this cookie. And next thing I know, I came back in the kitchen. I said, I might as well eat the other half of the cookie. Next thing I know, I've hit the halfway mark in the bag. There's 8 cookies. There's a little plastic thing in there, and I feel like it's the cookie company saying, you probably shouldn't eat the rest of these today. You should probably save them for another time. And so anyway, I said, I'm just so far in it, I might as well just go all the way with these things. So I got half a gallon of milk that was in the fridge. I sat down and forgot about everything else that was going on, and I just had myself a nice Christmas gift, and I ate the rest of those cookies, drank the milk, and I was just happy. Well, anyway, the reason I tell you that is that I should have stopped at one cookie. I should have stopped at half cookie, okay? So in this new year, whenever we get off track, don't eat the whole bag of cookies, okay? Get back on track. Return quickly to God. Don't let one bad decision or one choice get you down to where it becomes a week of bad decisions, a week of bad choices, a week of not spending time with the Lord. Get back in His presence. Get back on track. Get back in the saddle. Return quickly to God whenever you get off track, whenever I get off track in this new year. And whenever we do that, we'll get right back into what God has prepared for us. And the third thing that I want to share with you that I feel like will help us keep a strong and a healthy heart in the new year is this. Is not only do we want to reflect often so that we can see adjustments that we need to make and distractions that we need to get out of our lives, and not only do we need to return quickly whenever we get off track, because we want to be more like the prodigal son at the end of the story where he's coming back to the Father, back to His presence, enjoying God's love versus the prodigal son at the beginning of the story. It all started with one bad choice, one bad decision, and turned into a lifestyle of that. So we want to be more like the prodigal son at the end of the story, to where we're back in the Father's presence receiving from Him. But the third thing that I feel like we want to focus on to keep a strong, healthy heart in this new year is this, is to renew daily. Reflect often, return quickly, and lastly, renew daily. What I mean by that is simply this, spending time in God's Word on a daily basis. I had a friend of mine about a year and a half ago came to me, and he was telling me that he was dealing with some things, trying to get on top of some things in his life, trying to overcome some stuff, and he was saying, what do I need to do that? And I told him, I said, it may sound too simple to you, but the best advice I can give you is this, is to spend time in God's Word on a daily basis. Because when we spend time in God's Word on a daily basis, it does two things. It pushes out of our lives the things that don't need to be there, but it strengthens the things in our life that does need to be there. The Bible tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's when transformation takes place in our life. That's when we get a strong, healthy heart spiritually. It's not one big Bible study that we do. It's not one long prayer time that's going to keep our heart right in the new year to continue receiving from God all that He's prepared for us. It's going to be the daily discipline that we spend time in God's Word and we allow Him to shape us and mold us and adjust us to where we can be more and more like Him. It's that daily discipline of just putting the right things in. Because when we put the right things in, the right things are going to come out in our life. If we don't put the right things in our heart, we know the wrong things are going to come out of our mouth. We're going to be doing the wrong things. But if we put the right things in, we'll see God's goodness come to pass in our life. You know, I remember hearing on the radio probably about a week and a half ago, there was like a big lottery, I think it was, in Louisiana. And somebody won several million dollars. Long story short, I remembered hearing a statistic a few years ago about, I think it was 90% of lottery winners typically end up bankrupt 5 years from the time that they win millions and millions of dollars. How does that happen? There's no change in the way that they think, and so they return back to the way that they originally were. And so for us, spiritually speaking, for us not to return back to the way we were before our relationship with Christ, we need to change the way that we're thinking. The way that we do that is by renewing daily, spending time in God's Word daily. When we do that, it's going to keep us rooted. It's going to keep us grounded. It's going to keep us in a place of strength and keep our heart where it needs to be, because out of our heart flows all the issues of life. If we want to have strong families next year, if we want to have strong relationships next year, if we want to have a positive attitude next year, if we want to see good things take place, it all comes back to one thing. What is the condition of my heart? If we're going to keep our heart healthy and strong next year so that we can receive all God has for us, I believe it's these three things that we can practice. Reflect often. Take time out. Life gets busy. Plain and simple, it gets way too busy sometimes. So whether it's staying up late or getting up early, take time out and allow God to speak to our hearts, the adjustments that we need to make. Whenever we make adjustments, just like I did with that gun, and I got on target, our life will get on target whenever we take time and reflect to see which direction we need to go. Secondly, we're going to get off track at some point. It's just the way it is. But when we do, the great news is this, is God is just waiting for us to come back to Him so that He can put us back in the place that He's called us to be. So get back in the saddle. Don't eat the whole bag of cookies like I did. Have your cookie, be done with it, and then just get back on track. And then lastly, we've got to put the right things in our heart if we're going to get the right things out of our heart. We've got to renew daily. Spend time in God's Word daily. Whenever we do that, it's going to produce a harvest of not only a healthy heart, but as that scripture tells us, that out of the heart flow all the issues of life. If we want all areas of our life to be great next year, to see the goodness of God, it's as simple as just keeping focused on the current condition of our heart. Amen. Well, before we leave today, if you'll close your eyes, bow your heads, we want to give everybody an opportunity, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to do so this morning. If you say this past year, you feel like your heart has been sick, it hadn't been healthy, you hadn't seen the things in your life take place that you believe you should have, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the first step in having a healthy heart is for Jesus to come live in your heart. And if you've never made that decision, you say, I want this next year to be a better year. I want to see God's goodness. I want to see things change. I want to see things improved. And you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you will, just raise your hand real quickly. We just want to pray for you all together in just a moment. Maybe you say, I have accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but you say, this past year, I know that my heart was not in the right shape. I know that it wasn't healthy. I had a sick heart, and it affected my relationships. It affected me personally, my relationship with God. And you say, going into this new year, I want to get things right. I want to get my heart back on track. I want to get my heart back to God. I want to return quickly to Him right now so that He can do in my life what He wants to do and what I want Him to do. If that's you this morning, if you will, raise your hands just real quickly. Thank you. We got a whole lot of hands going up all over the place. Thank you for those hands. And like I said, we don't want to embarrass you, but if you will, let's all pray a prayer together. So if you will, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that He died for my sins and mistakes. Not only did He die, but He rose again. And I accept Him as my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you that you have forgiven me of all my past mistakes, and you have forgotten them. I forgive myself. I forget those things too. And I thank you that my best days are yet to come, and that in 2014, my heart will belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise God. Didn't you enjoy service today?